And as I walked away, I remember saying to myself, you know, this is freaky. I mean, this is really freaky. Do you really think this could be right? I mean, could this really be what he said it is? Could Jesus Christ really be the Messiah of Israel? I mean, could you have backed into the God of the universe here? That's what I walked away thinking. Well, I was pretty skeptical, but I kept my promise. I took the Bible home, put it on my nightstand, and I began reading it every night a little bit before I went to bed. Because I love to read before I go to bed. So I started reading in the Old Testament. I didn't know where to start. I mean, who knows what the Bible's like? So I started in the Old Testament. And Adam and Eve and all this good stuff. I mean, I'd heard their name. I never knew what the Bible said about them. And I thought, well, that's a pretty interesting story there. But then I got to that section where so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so. I didn't know how long that went on. And I thought, well, man, this ain't getting me nowhere. Maybe I should switch to the New Testament because that's what talks about Jesus. So I didn't know whether the New Testament went introduction, main body, conclusion, anticlimax. I didn't know whether it was a collection of short stories, whether it was an anthology of poetry. I didn't know what the thing was. So you figure if you don't know, you start at the beginning, right? So I turned to the Gospel of Matthew, and I started reading. Man, I couldn't believe some of the stuff that was in there. I must have read the Sermon on the Mount 7 or 8 times in a row before I could go on. What I could not get over, the thing that impressed me the most, was how Jesus used words to cut right to the heart of things. I mean, he could say more in one sentence than professors I had could say in a whole semester, it seemed. Man, he cut right to the core with one sentence. I couldn't get over it. I kept on reading, and I finally got to Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden and who are burdened down, who are overwhelmed, and I will give you rest. You will find peace for your soul." And when I read that, I'll never forget. I never forget looking up and saying, "Bingo. Bingo, this is exactly what I'm looking for. I couldn't have even put it in words that good myself," I remember thinking. Heavy laden. Burdened down. That's exactly how I feel. And what I'm looking for is peace and rest for my soul. This is it. This is exactly what I'm looking for. And here Jesus is promising if I'll come to him, he'll give it to me. Well, I thought, you know what? I gave drugs a fair shot in my life. I gave Zen Buddhism a fair shot in my life. I gave Judaism a fair shot in my life. I gave women and partying and drinking a fair shot in my life. It's only fair I give Jesus Christ a fair shot in my life. So I decided I was going to do that, but I didn't know how. I mean, this guy had said to me, "Receive Jesus." I do not have one clue what that means. Not one. I mean, if the guy had said to me, "Stand on your head and spit nickels," I would have at least known what position to get in. You follow what I'm saying? Receive Jesus means absolutely nothing to me. So I figure, okay, I'm on my own. You say, "Why didn't you call him?" I didn't have his phone number. I had no way to get in touch with this man. So I'm on my own. So I got down on my knees because, I don't know, it just seemed appropriate. And here's what I prayed. I prayed, "Okay, God." I said, "I don't even know if you're real. And this Jesus character, I am really confused about. But God, I'm empty on the inside. And I'm hurting on the inside. And I'm lonely on the inside. And I'm scared on the inside. And I need some help. And here's Jesus promising me that he can give me rest and he can give me joy. So God, here's what I want to do. I want to give you my life for 1 month. 1 month. I'll do anything you ask me to do. I'll go anywhere you ask me to go." I didn't know how he was going to ask me or tell me, but I mean, I was sincere about it. And I said, "Look, if at the end of that 1 month, God, you haven't given me this joy and this rest that you're talking about, I reserve the right to take my life back and cancel the deal. How about that? But if you really give it to me, this rest and this joy, then you can have my life for good. A deal's a deal. Amen." He said, "Lon, that is the worst salvation prayer I have ever heard in my entire life." Well, but I'm flying on my own here, guys. I'm going by the seat of my pants. You weren't there to tell me how to pray a salvation prayer. I didn't know how to pray to God. I just got a sincere heart, and I just want to do business with God. And I figured a month ought to be long enough if you're God, you know. I'm so glad for a verse of scripture in the Bible that says this. 1 Samuel 16:7. "Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." I'm so glad that God up in heaven said, "Solomon, that is the most awful prayer for salvation I ever heard. But you know what? I'm going to look past that prayer, son, and I'm going to look at your heart. And I see in your heart you mean business. So I'm going to forget about the prayer, and I'm going to deal with your heart. I'm so glad God sees the heart. And I got up off my knees and I said, okay, well, now we'll see what happens. I was very skeptical. I got to tell you, I was very skeptical. I really didn't think this was going to work, but I thought, well, who knows? But then I thought, you know, I need more than this. I mean, some kind of ethereal feeling that God's going to give me. That's not enough. So I got back down on my knees and I said, God, one more thing. My dog has the mange. Now, if you know what the mange is when the hair starts falling off the dog. And I'd been putting this salve on it that the vet gave me, and it wasn't helping. It was getting worse. I said, God, one more thing here. My dog has the mange. And I said, I need more than just some feeling you're going to give me. I need to know you're real. So here's what I want you to do. I said, God, I'm going to stop using the medicine on my dog. I want you to heal my dog. And then I got up and I thought, well, maybe that's not fair to the dog, you know, because maybe you should have asked God to levitate the bed or something else, you know. But I said, no, a prayer is a prayer, and we'll see what happens. Because I figured I wanted a God who was at least powerful enough that he could handle a case of mange. You understand what I'm saying? Well, all I can tell you, folks, is within 3 or 4 days, the mange had completely cleared up on my dog. You can explain it any way you want to explain it, but I'm telling you, I knew it wasn't that medicine because I'd been using the medicine on the dog and the dog been getting worse. I stopped using the medicine and the dog got better and the mange went away. And I knew, you can attribute it to anything you want, but I knew what I had prayed. And I knew God had done something for me. And God began doing some other things for me on the inside that I couldn't outwardly prove to anybody, but I knew things were beginning to happen on the inside of me that had never happened before. And about a week later, I got back down on my knees and I said, God, I'm convinced. I mean, you have changed. Not only did you do that thing for my dog, but on the inside, man, there are things happening inside of me. There's a joy and a peace and a contentment I have never felt. And frankly, there's also a sensitivity to sin that I've never experienced before in my life. Things I used to be able to do without the slightest pang of conscience, suddenly they were bothering me. And suddenly the only way I could deal with them was when I asked God to forgive me, I would feel fine. But I'd never been through that before. They never bothered me before. So all of this was happening on the inside of me, and I knew I didn't create it, and I knew I didn't generate it, and I had no explanation for all of this except that something supernatural was going on. And I got back down on my knees a week later, and I said, God, I'm convinced. I made a deal with you, and a deal's a deal. I told you I would give you my life for good, and I don't know what you can do with a hippie with hair out to his shoulders and love beads and bell bottoms on who blows dope, but whatever you can do with me, a deal's a deal, God. I give you my life for sure. And that was in the spring of 1971. Well, with the next time this man came to town, I went up to him and told him this whole story. Just laid this whole story on Bob Eckhart. Bob Eckhart grabbed me, hugged me. He called his wife out the back of the van. He said, Amy, come here quick. You got to hear this. And he said, tell her. So I told her the whole story. She said, praise the Lord. She's dancing around. And I'm looking at these people and they're hugging each other. And I'm like, what in the world have I gotten myself into? I hope I'm not going to act like this, but you know, when I'm a Christian for a while. They were so excited. You know what? Bob Eckhart's still living today as I record this. And we talk on the phone every once in a while. And he has said to me in all the time, he came to Chapel Hill all that summer, spring and summer of 1971, every single Saturday. And as far as we know, I'm the only person that came to Jesus Christ as a direct result of him being here. Now, there may have been others that we don't know about. But, you know, I like to think that God sent Bob Eckhart to Chapel Hill just for me. Just for me.